The Talking Point with Cathy Motlhatlhana. Weekdays, 9 a.m. till midday.
We continue the conversation focusing on accountancy, particularly the challenges facing women who are pursuing a career within that field. You heard that figure, 4,400, just over 4,400 chartered accountants, that's black female chartered accountants, that number very, very low. But again, an indication of just how many people fall along the wayside when pursuing this particular qualification. Pumla Molope is the African Women Chartered Accountants Vice President. Petoho Mabaso is a chartered accountant. She's also on the line alongside Danki Mogwena. Pumla, I want to come back to you and talk about the difficulties that young people often have when it comes to accessing the workplace and getting the right kind of experience that will help them not just complete their articles, but prepare them for, you know, their CTA and board exams. And Petro was talking about a sponsor. And often when you speak to students who are doing a chartered accountancy, they'll talk about the fact that, or who are actually pursuing financial degrees, they'll talk about the fact that it's so difficult to get a door in, even just to be able to work over the holidays, etc., etc. Almost like you need to be part of a group of connected people in order to do that. It's easier if perhaps you have a family member that's already in that space.
Kathy, yeah. So when you do start with articles, what's important is the experience you get. You go into the different divisions which you've selected: financial services, consumer markets, and it's not just about getting into the division. Now, the clients, the quality of clients you get allocated to. So that also becomes an issue. Let's say a lot of, unfortunately, our black counterpart may not be placed in a what we would call a crown jewel client, one of the big banks in financial services, or one of the big consumer brands, if you in that consumer markets division. You might be allocated into a smaller client or even a nonprofit. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you also want a varied level of experience and not just have, you know, an experience just with small clients, but you'd also want to have an experience with a big client, a multinational, so that you are able to see what happens in those companies as part of your training and experience. So there's always that issue. So as a female, you are dealing with, you know, racial biases, gender biases, you know, and fighting for those type of opportunity. And that's why it's key to have a mentor, not only a mentor, but a sponsor. So a mentor as in somebody you can talk to and relate with, but a sponsor who is in the company, who's going to speak your name in places where you are not, you know, have access to. So even when you finish now your articles and you decide, this is where I want to go, I want to be an accountant or a chief financial officer, you're going to the next company now, you're a chartered accountant, you've qualified, you've written the exams, the same exams that everybody, all racial groups have written. But you always feel the sense that you are made to feel like you're not good enough. And that's because of biases that just exist in corporate South Africa. So you have to go through that type of experience as well. Is being a female in corporate is already tough, because a lot of the time, males don't really listen to what you're saying. They hear you, but they don't really listen to you. So you need to fight through that. You need to fight through the racial biases. You need to fight through your own, probably imposter syndrome has become quite a topical issue. In all of that, you always need to realize that you do have the qualification. You did write the same exams as all the other counterparts, and you are able and competent to do this job. So all these other things are soft issues that you have to deal with, but it's always best to have a sponsor who speaks your name in places where you don't have access to. That gives you more confidence. That gives you a strategy on how to maneuver a corporate environment. And this is also where AWCA comes through, because we have a lot of initiatives, leadership courses, where you have an opportunity to go to Fordham University in the US, a US experience, something you can speak to gives you confidence. You've had an international experience. We have a board experience where you go through Duke education, and they give you a lot of skills to help you if you were to end up in a board. So this is what we're trying to do as AWCA, intervene in all these spaces which are sensitive for a growing professional. We want to make excellent female leaders, excellent Black female leaders, so that you are confident to be in those spaces and feel that you belong there.
Mm. Petro, let's talk about what the difference between a mentor and a sponsor is, and how you go about sourcing one in an organization.
Thank you, Kathy. I think, you know, Pumla already touched on it a little bit, but perhaps to expand on what she has already said. And with mentorship, I think it's also important to recognize that there's different kinds of mentorship. So there's more formal mentorship where, you know, two people would come together. So there's normally a mentor who's an experienced individual. So perhaps if you're a young female CA, you identify somebody in your organization or different organization who's occupying a role, you know, that you would aspire to also occupy. And somehow you're able to form and establish a connection with that person. And you can then agree that they would be your mentor formally. And that's normally then guided by certain things. So you would have a plan in place to say, this is how often we would meet, you know, and how you would communicate. And you know, every now and again, when you do interact, just to say, these are the goals that you've set. How are you doing? What are the challenges that you're experiencing? And your mentor can really hold your hand almost and guide you almost through the process. Of course, no two people's stories are the same, but there's always then something that, you know, you can learn from a mentor and apply it to your own journey. And also then mentors sometimes, you know, can help to open doors for you, and if there's opportunities that are available. So that's mentorship. But also, Kathy, I think it's important to also realize the quality of informal mentorship. So Pumla also spoke about some of the programs that we have at AWCA. So for instance, Power Spaces, which we used to call Power Teas in the past. So you can imagine there's 4,000 odd female CAs in the countries versus a large pipeline of young people who are trying to qualify as CAs. And so it's not always possible for those 4,000 individuals to be one-on-one mentors to everyone. And so that's where also informal mentorship comes in, where through various initiatives that we would run, we would have panel discussions and the like, you know, and often in person, where you either have three or four prominent women, and not just CAs, from different professions, who would come and speak to us about their journeys and what they've learned along the way. And so, you know, young CAs have an opportunity to also learn from those women in those kind of forums. And the good thing as well is that often people are able to connect and initiate some relationships through those informal mentorship platforms. And that then leads to formal mentorship. A sponsor, Kathy, like Pumla already said, is something different. A sponsor is somebody who advocates for you. So a sponsor is normally a person in a position of power and influence. And so they are the people who will speak your name in rooms when you are not there, that when an opportunity comes up and they say, actually, have you considered Pumla, or have you considered Danki, or have you considered Petoho? You know, she's a young, great CA, and these are her qualifications. And I definitely think that she would be able to do this, you know, so they fill that role. And like Pumla already mentioned, it is then, you know, quite important. So when you speak to a lot of people who've been able to progress in the profession, a lot of them mention that they had a sponsor. And again, you know, with sponsors, it might be somebody who you identify, say, in your organization, and you would approach them and ask them, you know, to be your sponsor. But sometimes, again, you know, we shouldn't underestimate the importance of working hard and having, good values and a good attitude. because also sometimes your sponsor is somebody who actually recognizes your efforts, who recognizes your value and what it is that you have to offer to the organization. And then by you just doing your work and being good at it, you know, you're able to then gain a sponsor, and that's how a sponsorship relationship develops.
Danki, tell me, were you able to find a sponsor, somebody who advocates on your behalf when you're not in the room?
Fortunately, I was, Kathy, and it made all the difference. It's coming from what Petola was saying about just working hard. I didn't have to ask, but I made sure that when I do work, it was work that I was proud of. And when I needed it the most, it really paid off. I had someone go into a room and speak on my behalf, and it literally made all the difference.
You know, it's such a fascinating process, because sometimes you have a group of very dedicated young people that are all working hard, and it does get tough to kind of stand out. So when you have to begin a conversation with somebody who could be a potential sponsor, what's the best approach to take when you're approaching a conversation like that, Pumla?
I think it definitely comes back to what we've just discussed about hard work. If you are trying to, have access to a sponsor, you need to be doing your work very hard, diligently, head down, doing what you need to do. But also, when you do have an opportunity to be in a committee at your workplace, I joined like one of these transformation committees. So you just have access to different levels of people in the organization, and you speak up. So sometimes you have to come out of yourself and speak out in certain places of the organization. But I've always believed that hard work speaks for itself, and the additional like you get is the opportunity to speak in those spaces when you have the opportunity to have. But it always goes back to hard work and differentiating yourself in that, because a sponsor will notice you if your work is done correctly, if you're meeting your deadline, and if your team speaks highly of you. So just being a good person in general, getting along with people, being kind, just basic human morals and ethics and values. And it will come out. Positive, good energy, good workers always come first. So I think that's the best way to play.
Yeah, there's so much just beyond the job that one has to consider when you are in the workplace that actually contributes to one's success. We're getting ready to wrap up the conversation. I want to take just some of the comments that our listeners have sent through.
SAFM, leading the conversation.
Hi, Kathy. My second cousin, 31 years old, is a chartered accountant today. She did very well at school, got into university, but the third year she failed at university, and her father was very angry. He was actually wanting to put her out of the house because she failed. That is how great his disappointment have been. And what does that do to the student as well? Because if it's the first time you fail too, what does that do to you emotionally? Anyway, he was angry because he was holding three jobs at the time to put her through university. And she succeeded eventually. She even went to New York for a month with a company that took her in. But then she discovered privilege, and she became despondent because she saw what is happening in the workplace, and she resigned from that job. She just got another job 2 months ago, but she was jobless for 6 months because she could see the white domination as well as male domination in the workplace and the privileges that is afforded.
Morning, Kathy. It's difficult to be a woman in this marketed degrees like chartered accountant, MBA. I've got my niece who has master's in land surveying, did town planning, did project management, did MBA, but is staying at home. And it's frustrating her. She can even commit suicide because this is a man's world, or we must be politically appointed, and I don't know what's going on in this world. Thank you, Kathy.
Kathy Motlhatlana on SAFM.
Yeah, so many different themes coming out of those voice notes. But Pumla, perhaps let me just wrap it up with you. What advice do you have for women who are in these sectors that are seen as predominantly male and sometimes even white male dominated? What can they do to get ahead and not be frustrated by some of the things that they experience on a day to day?
Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, it's very frustrating. I think we've all in some way or another dealt with that in the workplace. But what I can say is just always have a positive attitude. Do not be too despondent and do not allow these circumstances to take the hard work you've done away from you. My advice is to try and figure out a strategy on how to make it work. Obviously, there's certain times where you can see that you're going to go nowhere and you have to move on, but move on with a good plan. Your exit plan must always make sense because there's still, finances to think of and your career as well to think of. So my advice is to keep a positive attitude, to be strategic in how you manage, unfortunately, these type of situation. See if you can find somebody in the organization who can understand you, who can sponsor you. If you don't get one from just doing your work and, being a star, but try and find somebody in the organization who can support you, who can help you through managing, that corporate ladder. And if you feel like this is untenable and you cannot, you're feeling so despondent and it's becoming a mental health issue, start planning your exit plan. Start looking outside and what you want to do, a recruiter, and start planning your exit instead of sitting there and being so despondent that you feel helpless. But just continue. We all have this these women behind us. We can't stop now. We have to continue and battle this for our children because the numbers are so low still, and we need to continue. We still need women in the workplace. We need to carry this country, so we cannot stop. We just need to always realize that it's always bigger than just yourself individually. That's what I'll leave it at.
Pumla Malope, she is the African Women Chartered Accountants Vice President. You also heard there from Petoho Mabaso and Danki Mukwena.